This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, yeah. Look who's here, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Hey now. It's good to be here this morning. Happy Tuesday to you. I am Howard Stern contributor Stephen Woods. I work on Ben and Woods for now. But based on some recent events, phone calls have been made, some emails have been sent out. And listen, I've had a great time working with you guys. I don't know what the future holds, but, you know, you can soldier on without me if perhaps a call or an email comes in today that I need to take. Now you'll know where I am. So it's good to see you guys. That's Paulie Reindl, the executive producer of this program. Good morning, Paulie.
Also a Stern Show contributor.
Also a Stern Show contributor, very much.
Did you field any TMZ requests?
No, I didn't check my DMs. My DMs went a little ham yesterday. Ladies and dudes and, you know, all of it, man. All of it. So, Ben Higgins, not featured on the Stern Show. Good morning to you.
Okay, Baba Woodsy.
Baba Woodsy. I heard Wawa Woodsy yesterday, which I thought was pretty good. That was pretty good. What a cool day yesterday for the Ben and Woods program. Talk about a shocker. I had no idea that was going to happen.
Very polarizing. I got some reaction yesterday. People still have very strong feelings about Howard Stern. Many years later, I'm not like you. I was never a regular listener to the show.
Yeah.
I remember a time where he felt like he was the most edgy personality in America. I don't feel that anymore. I feel like everybody's caught up and everybody on the internet is now the most edgy person in America. But
I said this a couple weeks ago. I tweeted this and I said, there is no edge anymore. There's no edge. Like when Kanye West is like, buy my swastika t-shirt, the edge is gone. No one, there is no edge to be edgy over. Being edgy means you get up as close as you can and you go, oh, God, that's deep and far down there. There is no edge. When you're selling swastika t-shirts in the year 2025,
that's sprinting right toward the edge of the cliff and then just jumping off.
I mean, there's no edge. What do you do? Like, What can you, and it's why you're seeing the lack of edge really in art and in music. They're force feeding us Jelly Roll. They're force feeding us Post Malone. They're force feeding us this stuff because there's no edge. What is a musical artist going to do? It comes out and you go, that is super original. I mean, it's just super original. The thing I love about Stern and have for my whole life,
I am not okay.
The thing I've loved about that man, he was always there, dude. Foot, toe, dangling over the edge, and all he cared about ever was his audience. That's why I've always loved him. That's why I've always admired him. Yeah, man, it's did he do things back in the day that you went, oh, God, dude? Yeah, it made me uncomfortable. But that was kind of the whole purpose of his being was to make people uncomfortable and to kind of expose a lot of the hypocrisy that was out there. And he did a great job of that for many, many years. So really the most original human being that has ever had one of these in front of him and to do what we do. And so, yeah, man, that was a trip yesterday. That was a real, real trip hearing my voice and Paulie's voice and our show on the Howard Stern Show, even just for
crazy.
A brief moment. Crazy. It was bananas. It was bananas.
Thought about it all day.
I did too. Blew my mind. Blew my mind. So
now I guess if you weren't listening late in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday, we kind of figured all of this out and you're just tuning in right now. Why are we talking about Howard Stern so much
right.
this morning?
Yeah. So this happened yesterday. We were in the middle of the program and we got a tweet and it said, you guys were just on the Stern Show. And we're in the middle of our radio show. And we're like, what?
We're talking to Sammy about Tirso Ornelas.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, we're like, I had to go back and listen.
But it's you guys.
It's definitely you guys. I'm like, what does this mean?
So I know he's got a staff. He has a huge staff. And I'm so jealous that he has like 40 people out just finding the best stuff to get
to. He has like 20 on-air people that you know about. And then probably another 30 or 40.
Behind the scenes.
That their entire job is to
listen to radio.
Scour the internet and just any radio show or podcast that talked about blank. Find a clip and have it ready
just
in case.
And throw it in here, and we're going to be talking about this. And so anyway, we're on the air, and we hear it, and we get the text and or the tweet, and I said to Paulie, I was like, well, we got to find it. Save it for after the show. We'll film the reaction. But it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. So if you missed it, this is what it sounded like on the Howard Stern show.
He was having a conversation about the Justin Tucker massage therapist NFL story and essentially how it was difficult for terrestrial radio hosts to dance around the disgusting reality of the details of that story.
But I like regular radio. They're having a hard time with this story. They don't know how to, like, say, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they have to come up with childish terms because, you know, I guess the FCC still worries about what children are going to hear over open air, even though all hell has broken loose. This is what they're worried about.
He left what is believed to be a deposit, a proprietary blend of his own personal tartar sauce on the massage.
Oh my God.
That I'm going to throw up.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Table.
You know, real quick, what was the atom of that radio station thinking?
Hey, can you not, please?
Can you not say tartar sauce?
Yeah.
Table.
You don't want to get too graphic. I mean, this guy was having a good time on a massage table. You know what I mean?
A massage and left a treat for her on the table. Not
treat.
A treat. And that's, no. I don't know any other way to put it. A surprise.
An unwanted surprise.
An unwanted surprise.
Unwanted.
On the table.
The large wet spot on the table.
Yeah. Bodily fluids on the table.
Residue.
There it was. There it was. He commented on mine. He goes, treat. It blew my mind. I listened to it 100 times yesterday. Played it for my kids. They're like, we don't know who this is. We have no idea who this is, what this means. A massage and left a treat for her on the table. Not
treat.
A treat. And that's, I don't know any other way to put it. A surprise.
An unwanted surprise.
What is an unwanted? What is an unwanted?
You flubbed on the Howard Stern show.
Howard Stern thinks you're a moron.
The funny part is I was driving in this morning thinking about it, I go, if he listened to our show and like was like, this guy is terrible and like ripped me apart, it wouldn't bother me. Not even in the slightest. It wouldn't bug me. It wouldn't get under my skin. Nothing. I would be so elated to have that. But it was cool, man. It was a really cool moment. Means nothing. Like, you know, nothing's going to happen from it, but I just think it's badass.
Adam didn't send you your bonus yesterday?
I did not get a bonus yesterday, Paulie, but I
did. Your viral bonus?
I did. I was thinking about how many people heard that yesterday. The correct term is an S-load. An S-load of people. That man makes $90 million a year. That's what he makes. So how many people must you get? I don't know how this works. How many? Are you getting more than 90 people listening to your radio show? If not, maybe he's overpaid. I don't know. I don't know how
it
works.
He's almost single-handedly responsible for Sirius XM, as we know it.
If he goes away from Sirius, it's probably done, right?
Unless it's like $26.99 a month.
Yeah, I do too.
Because of Howard Stern.
Because of Howard Stern. So it's
he goes away. I'm not paying $27 a month.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool, man. I was really happy about it. It was a fun moment.
Kevin says Ben's. I don't think it was.
No,
it was Paul.
You heard Ben weigh in live right, here over right. the.
I was not. I was not featured. I'm not
massage and left a well. A- treat for her on the table. Not treat. A treat.
That's
I don't know. I don't know any other way to put it. A surprise.
An unwanted.
An surprise. Unwanted surprise.
Woods.
That's Woods. Yeah.
And I'm not. I'm not like bitterly disappointed that I didn't get in. I was excited that our "Don't Do This" music got into.
I know it's wild. Like you hear it in the background. You're like, "That's our show. That's our show." That's what kind of really set it home, man. It was pretty nuts. It was fun. I had such a fun time with it. But you're right. Yeah. I mean, Benny. There's people that don't like Howard, and that's fine. Good for them. I mean, that he's the gold standard though for what you think you want to accomplish in this business is he's done it. You know, and so I mean he's one of one. There's no one like him, and there never will be.
Well, one day my dream will come true, and Maggie and Perloff will feature us on their show. So
I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here. If you wanted to be on the Maggie and Perloff show, we could make that happen for you. Like
they could be these incredible
tomorrow.
Business people.
There she is.
And
she watch talk back
so
to her.
Often, pun intended, Maggie, when they're
right
dealing
here.
With their own players.
Wait,
Maggie?
I'm not sure I totally agree with that. So you're saying his evaluation of the Cowboys has gone
Wait,
up so much.
Hold on. Pause. So you've got her giving her take, him saying he doesn't agree, and they're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. I am. Why do you think I like Howard Stern? Because he would
so
never do that.
Teams worth billions upon billions. That doesn't make them all great businessmen.
No, I think I'm talking more specifically about some of the things that Jerry's done. Where
Jerry,
he had to
they're
take
talking
on
about Jerry
Jones.
Jones. Football season's over. It's long
it
over.
It is February 25th.
You are done. It does not even need to be spoken about.
We're going to set the menu coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I'm looking to see which segment we will be talking about the Dallas Cowboys.
There it was. Glory hole.
There it was.
In the woods.
It's incredible. Of course they're talking about
this
the Cowboys.
This is going to be mean, and I'm not usually mean. I saw a picture of Stephen Jones yesterday.
Yeah.
He's Jerry's son.
He's Jerry's son.
He looks too old to be running a football team.
He does.
And his dad is the one who actually runs the football team.
They I'll put it this way. They have cocktails at lunch, the Jones family. I'm going to tell you right now, and I know this for a fact. They have cocktails at lunch, and they have for the last 40 to 50 to 60 years. So they drink at lunch.
All right, we will actually set the menu. We got some Padres talk coming up today.
Today.
A couple of home runs yesterday. Of course, we're heading out to spring training right after the show. In fact, I'll explain exactly when we're heading out to spring training in our setting of the menu segment when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's Ben and Woods. We've got Kelly's traffic coming up. First, though, Woods and I want to tell you about Trust and Will. Over the holidays, we were approached by Trust and Will to kind of explain what they do, the service they provide, and why so many people kind of our age, you know, in their 40s, even in their 50s, haven't set down in writing their wishes if something should happen to them, Woods, and why that's not a great thing for your family.
Yeah, I mean, I've got two small kids. I'd kind of like to know who's going to watch them if something happens to Hannah and I. And look, you know, the courts, not your family, get to decide who will raise your children if you don't have this all dialed in. Especially make sure you have the trust as well, because if you do have things to leave behind, you don't want your family in probate court. Can be very expensive and timely. It's not a fun process for anybody. They just lost a loved one.
Yeah, the trust can also save you on property taxes, you know, avoid reassessment that increases your already large property tax bills a lot higher. And it's so simple. All you have to do is go to trustandwill.com, answer some questions, about 20 minutes, fill it out, and then they will send you the legal documents, and then you will have them in a safe place if something should happen to you. And when you use the code San Diego, all one word, at trustandwill.com, you're going to get 10% off their already reasonable prices at checkout. So check them out today, trustandwill.com. Get your affairs in order at trustandwill.com. Now, sometimes I forget what a massive star you are. Now that you're on the Howard Stern show.
Yeah, it's no big deal. It's opened up a lot of doors for me.
Just exploding into a different stratosphere now. Because
yeah.
I got in trouble yesterday at work.
You did?
Yeah. I was asked, why didn't you tell me Woods was going to be in the building?
Who asked you?
A couple people, actually.
Was it Vanessa Paz?
No, it was...
Oh, all right. Then I don't care.
Our design director, Steve Liu.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, I didn't realize I needed to send an all-company email to announce. Stephen Woods, by the way, is going to be in the building today. If you'd like to greet him, maybe form a reception line around 1 o'clock.
He will be bringing headshots to sign. Don't talk to him a lot, though. Don't ask him to do anything.
Don't look him directly in the eye. He doesn't like that.
How was your visit to Channel 10's lovely studios in Webster?
It was great, actually. Got in, had a little trouble with the intercom as I pulled in. I hit the button.
I don't have to use that.
Right, you got a card. Right, yeah. So I pull in, Paulie, and I hit the button. And I hear the...
It's Gina at the desk.
Hi, I have an appointment.
You realize they're building 70 years old. The intercom's probably 62 years old.
I have a 1 o'clock. Guess when I pulled in? 12:07 for a 1 o'clock
yeah,
shoot.
Yeah. So you probably weren't even on the schedule yet for like, arrivals.
I'm here to. I have an appointment with Mark and maybe Bill. It's at 1. it's at 1. I'm doing a commercial for QC Kinetics at 1.
Big opens. Gate opens. Beep.
So it goes
comes
in.
Up. You're good.
So I'm like, oh, God. So then I go in, I sit in my car until 12:45, and I get out at 12:45. I walk to the front door. It was like a golf bit, so I have your 7-iron that you gave me, and I'm walking in. Now, you see a man walking into a building with a 7-iron in his hand.
TV station, they're a little nervous about that.
In a TV station, they'll you know, gets people up on their haunches. So I get to the front door. Another intercom. But I peer in the window. There's no one at the desk. There's no one there.
Gina's on her lunch break.
So I hit the intercom. Nothing. I wait. Nothing. Then the FedEx guy walks out. And I'm like, I can't go in. They have not let me in yet. I cannot just walk in. They're gonna gang tackle me.
Tase you.
They'll tase me.
Yeah.
So I had to stand outside. FedEx guy comes back out to his truck, comes back in. I go, you know what? I'm going in. So I go to the lobby. No one's there. I sign in, and I'm standing there with a 7-iron. So then I send an email. Hey, I'm in the lobby if anybody wants to come get me. And Bill came out. Very, very nice guy. They took me back to a room, and they wiped my face. You know, I wanted some makeup, but they didn't give me any. And it was weird because the teleprompter was directly in front of me, dead straight, right? My mark was turned to the right. And I said to the guys, I'm not going to be able to read the teleprompter because I don't have eyes in the side of my head. And I'm like, I can't look over, right? They said, no, you have to keep looking directly right. And I said, but the teleprompter's to my left. So what is the purpose of a teleprompter? So they had to like tear it down and move it over for me, right? Maybe most
Ben,
people.
What was he supposed to do there?
What should I have done?
I don't know.
Usually, memorize my script.
Usually, for me, the teleprompter is literally reflecting right in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking straight into the camera and seeing the words.
Of course,
you don't see the backside of the words because of the way the reflection works.
Yeah.
But I see the words right in front of the camera.
So they had to move it over to my camera angle. So they did that. And then I did maybe 5 or 6 takes, and after that, you know, I had to do a golf swing, which I'm sure will be mocked mercilessly. There is a possibility, and I told Hannah this when I got home. I have this bad habit. You guys may have noticed it. If I deliver what in my mind is a funny line, I do something called, from her, she calls it, the greasy wink. So... If I'm like,
I know, you've seen it?
Yeah, okay.
It, yeah, absolutely.
You've seen it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. No, neither of you guys have ever brought this to my attention. And I go, I don't do that. And now it's in my head. So I was like, my line was something to the effect of, I'm an avid golfer, but my wrists were really in bad shape. I went to QC Kinetics, and look, my golf game still terrible, and then the greasy wink came. I'm pretty sure I did it every take. So as you see the commercial, when we get it, we'll all have to look for the greasy wink. And I told her, I went home, I go, she goes, how did it go? I go, I think it went pretty good, but I'm...
And you're doing it subconsciously. You don't even
notice. I don't even know. Yeah. I don't even know that I'm doing it. Like, I just give it like the... It's just, she's like, you're a pervert creep when you do it. You're a crumb creep.
See?
Coward. And so I think, I'm pretty sure in the commercial, you'll
see... You're a real crumb bum.
You'll see me do like a...
When I think I say something funny, I do more of the hopeful eyebrow raise.
He does like, an eyebrow raise. He does. Did anybody catch that?
Yes. Did anyone catch my hilarity?
So I think I did.
But you do the little kind of...
like a. Mm-hmm. It's one of these, kind of like a gotcha, you know? And I'm pretty sure I did that. Definitely makes me look like a massive pervert when I do it. So I think that's going to be in the spot. But other than that, man, it went smooth. You guys were pros. It got me in and out. And I was back on the road by 1:15. So it was pretty great.
Nice.
It was a nice area.
I wasn't there until about 2:45. Our paths never crossed.
A couple of nice pictures of you in the hallway. A couple of montages that they have that are really cool. Yeah, big star over there, Benny.
Glad you had a good experience.
Me, not you. The big star in the building. Yeah, right. Yeah, it was great, though. So right. We'll see how that comes out.
Here's what we got coming up on the, slightly, I don't want to say shortened program, but we're on a bit of a time crunch today. We have to get out to Peoria, get to Arizona, get our credentials, get checked into our accommodations for our shows in spring training. So we're actually going to leave at 9:00 today, and we're going to play a little best of Ben and Woods hour from 9 to 10. Paulie set up some great stuff. Anything you might have missed, probably be our best hour. Honestly, that's why we call it best of.
Absolutely,
not like worst of hour. So, but before then, that means we got to cram everything else into the first next 2.5 hours of the show, including Padres talk, yesterday's game against the Cubs. Had a couple of guys who are battling for those last roster spots who went deep, and we heard from both of them, or at least one of them, after the game, some sound that Sammy collected. And speaking of Sam Levitt, he will join us near the end of our stay, around 8:35 from Peoria, for his daily check-in from Padres spring training. We also did get an update last night from the Aztecs about Magoon Gwat's injury, and it's certainly not the worst possible scenario, but we'll kind of give you an update of what that means for the Aztecs going forward. He won't be back in time for tonight's game, certainly against New Mexico, but there is a chance he will return this season if there are meaningful games to be played in March for San Diego State. So we can talk Aztecs in our 7:00 hour, all of our regular features, including Don't Do This, Take on Woods, and we'll... I don't know. Are we going to skip the Rondo report today since it's in the 9:00 hour? Did you get off easy?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Paulie's got some extra headlines. We can always throw them in at some point. Exactly. So that's what we've got for you today. We'll start with some Padres and talk a little bit about what went down yesterday in Peoria. We will do that coming up next here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, TEGE 000466.
Right now, though, let's talk about 7 Mile Casino. We're going to make a very, very long drive today, and I will be jealous that you only need to make a 7-minute drive to get to San Diego's best card room, our place right down there in Chula Vista off the 5 Freeway, 7 Mile Casino, to play California-style blackjack, Texas Hold'em poker, Pai Gow, and Baccarat. They got the table set up for you, ready to go. You walk right in the door, and you are playing. It literally is the easiest, most convenient place you can if you like to play cards.
Well, it's not only convenient when you get there. Only convenient. Once you walk in the door, they make it really convenient for you as well. It's a great place to sit and play cards. Great place to just sit in a booth. They got a really cool bar area with some nice booths. They got an outdoor patio that overlooks the bay. I mean, it's convenient as hell. That's a great spot. It's a smoke-free environment as well. Great class of people in there hanging out, too. It's really, really a fun time. So make it a priority this year. Get on over to 7 Mile Casino. It's just 7 minutes from downtown. I will say there's a little feeling of senioritis in here right now. Last day of school type scenario. Now, the car's packed. It's ready to go. You're fired up. It's a fun trip. It's a cool trip. And you're like, oh, yeah, gotta work first. Gotta do that. What I'm saying is I have 1 foot out the door.
I understand. Right,
just so you guys know, I have 1 foot out the door.
I guess this is a work trip.
When I
go on a vacation, I don't typically travel later in the day, so I don't typically work the same day that I leave for my trip.
It's not great.
So why are we working today?
It's a great question. If today was a work trip, we should have just
left. We're doing 1 hour best of. We should just done four hours. We'd be on the road right now.
Yeah. Just getting after it. We'd be at Cafe Adesso right now. Sucking down lattes and stuff. And some nice blueberry muffins.
Instead, we're going to be on a tight schedule.
Yeah.
Adam does not give us the credit we deserve.
He really doesn't, dude. He really doesn't.
Not even a thank you.
Nope.
Oh, by the way, because that last hour is going to be best of, I do want to warn everybody that our biggest fan, we're going to announce it at 8:45 this morning because we need the 10 minutes to give you a chance to call in.
Yeah.
So let everybody know that if you're tuning in for the biggest fan at 9 o'clock, you should tune in a little earlier. I mean, you should be listening to the whole show, honestly,
every day.
Yeah. But just keep in mind, biggest fan comes a little bit earlier today at 8:40 for your chance to qualify for the Night in the Odyssey Suite at a Padres game later this season. All right, let me ask you a question, Woods.
Shoot.
Who's going to be the, if you had to bet money on it, who's going to be the opening day left fielder for the San Diego Padres? First lineup for Mike Schilt against the Atlanta Braves.
It's going to be...
don't know who the Braves are throwing necessarily in that game, but let's assume it's a right-hander.
It's going to be Jason Hayward.
You think it's going to be Jason Hayward?
Yeah.
What if a left-hander is throwing for the Braves?
Maybe Connor Joe.
Okay, so you're going veterans.
Of course.
Because neither of those guys, I mean, has really appeared much. Connor Joe does. I don't think he has a hit yet in spring training. And not that that matters at all, but we've seen some interesting things already from Eggy Rosario, who played left yesterday and hit a home run. Not only did he hit a home run, but he did so off a right-handed pitcher, Ben Brown of the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
It was his third hit of the spring, including a double, now a home run, and a single. All of them have come off right-handed pitching.
Which is really the knock against Eggy.
It has been.
He really only hits lefties.
All 13 of his career extra base hits have been off left-handed pitching. He's mashed left-hander. He's an all-star, against left-handed pitching. But you don't see a ton of left-handed pitching, and he has been abysmal against right-handed pitching, which makes him not an everyday player, at least up to this point. Now, he's still just 25 years old. Also happens to be the longest tenured member of the Padres organization. He goes all the way back to A.J. Preller's first year when they signed him as an international free agent. Like,
was
when he's 15, turning 16. Yeah. Now he's 25. Going on 26 and is down to his last options, essentially. If he doesn't make the team, the Padres can't, you know, just send him down to AAA without designating him for assignment. So if you want to keep Eggy Rosario, there's a chance he has to make the opening day roster. Now, he can play the infield. He can back up, you know, Manny Machado. He can back up Jake Cronenworth at second base. He's a versatile, useful player, which definitely, I think, gives him an advantage going for a utility role. But if he's hitting, and he's hitting against right-handers, you may want that bat in the lineup. And the only place you could put it would be left field, which is why, you know, Mike Schilt is experimenting with Eggy Rosario out in left field, even though that's a natural position.
Yeah, look, and there's a couple of different names that are interesting. Tirso had a nice bomb yesterday. Oscar Gonzalez has put some nice swings on the ball. The Perlaza kid as well has some really nice raw power. I think, you know, there's not going to be room for all of those guys, as you know. Again, we always say, we do this as sports radio hosts, and I think as fans we do it too, right? The open competition out there, guys. It's open. I mean, best man wins the job. When does that, I mean, it rarely happens. What they'll probably do, and I'd love to be surprised, and I have been surprised by this team many times. If you're Mike Schilt and you're A.J. Preller and you went out and you signed Jason Hayward and Connor Joe, a couple of veterans, it's the safe move to go out there and put them, at least for the start of the season. Ben, I want Jason Hayward out there. He knows what he's doing out in the outfield. He's an experienced outfielder. He's got some hits and some big games. You know, World Series champion. You can justify that, right? You can justify that. It doesn't look like a moronic move. You're not moving things around. Yeah, I started Brett Sullivan out there in left field today. No, it's Jason Hayward. You know, the guy is a world-class defender and blah, blah, blah. They usually go with the safe kind of move. So when we say open competition, okay. I really do think it's just something you say, because rarely does the guy that hits, let's say Eggy rips through spring training, Benny, and he's sitting 6-12 with four home runs and 18 RBI, like, do you still think, I'm penciling him in opening day? I don't. You just rarely see it in baseball, especially on a team with championship aspirations.
And there's no guarantees with any of these guys, but I think it's interesting to note that about 3 weeks ago, we were looking at left field going, I guess it's Tirso or Nellis' position to lose. They've signed no one. There's no real options out there. It's a big question mark for the Padres going into spring. And here we are now, only five spring training games in, four spring training games in, and you look at the left field and you go, okay, well, I mean, there's a bunch of guys who are stepping up to try to at least, you know, throw their hat into the ring, put their name into the conversation as being the opening day left fielder for the San Diego Padres.
Well, and sure, and again, just because it's maybe Hayward in left field on opening day against a righty, it doesn't mean Eggie can't DH. It doesn't mean that some of these other guys can't make the squad and DH from time to time, certainly. There's only so many spots. And look, I'm not advocating for any of this. I'm kind of the opinion, Ben, I would like to see the hot hand, the best man for the job, the person that has earned the position. I think that is really the best way to do it. But I can certainly understand going, I got to go with my veteran. I have to go with my veteran guy right now. I can't run the risk of, you know, an Eggie Rosario booting a ball in the third inning that leads to three runs when I had Jason Hayward sitting right there, right? We'll see how many reps he gets out there. I would imagine they're going to continue to try to use him out there because, honestly, Benny, they don't really need him in the infield. Yeah, he can do it. He can back them up, but you got Tyler Wade. You got a couple of other guys you probably feel more comfortable with. If he's the old adage is, if you hit, you don't sit. And he can hit. You know, he can hit. So I love that he's trying to force his way onto this team, and he's been here a long time. He deserves it.
And Eggie did talk about after the game with our Sammy Leavitt, with Danny translating, that in the Dominican Winter League, he was really focused on facing right-handers, and that was like something he was
working on,
especially working on, and thought he was making a lot of progress. He was one of the top hitters, actually, in the Dominican Winter League until I believe Mike Schultz said his season was cut short. He had appendicitis and had his appendix out, but he's fine now.
Yeah.
And, had a good Dominican Winter League season, and he's kind of carried that over into spring training. So if he's made a bit of a leap against right-handers, that does make him more of a big league everyday option than we were considering about Eggie Rosario going into this season.
That'd be cool.
I don't know.
It'd be cool. I mean, it'd be cool to see. It would be great to see. And he's been up with the club, you know, plenty of times, and you know, he knows what it's all about. And I do think it would be fun. And we can ask Schulte about this. We're going to talk to him this week, I'm sure. Of like, hey man, you know, when you say that someone can actually earn a position in baseball, you don't even have to answer for yourself, but in baseball, do you guys actually mean it when you say it? Because that would lead me to believe, all right, I got five left fielders. Who had the best spring training? That goes to, oh, Ben Higgins hit .497. All right, Benny, you're the guy until you're not, you know?
There's a limit to that.
What are the limits?
Tirso Ornelas and Jonathan Perlaza have the three best springs. They're not going to be your three starting outfielders on opening day.
Right.
Jackson Merrill and Fernando Tatis Jr. Right. will be out there. Yeah.
I mean,
but even at one position, though.
Not even left field. How about catcher? Ethan Salas has the best spring training.
That's the one.
That's the one where
you're looking. Is there anything he can do?
I don't think so.
Is there anything he can do over the next, 4 weeks?
We know about the San Diego Padres. They don't care about, we don't want to start his clock too early. They're not that. They're not the Pirates. They're not going. If they thought Ethan Salas was ready, if they sat in a room and they looked at themselves in the mirror and they looked at each other and they go, he is legitimately ready to be a big leaguer.
He's the best catcher we have.
He'd be a big leaguer. I really think so. I don't think it's not service time manipulation.
It's not just that he looks like he's ready. There are a lot of things about Ethan Salas that make him look like he's ready. There's just no way to overcome the fact that he's 18 years old. I think the Padres, I mean, they'd have to be so overwhelmingly sure that he was ready. They could be 80, 90% sure he's ready for the big leagues.
Yeah.
And they're still, I don't think, going to.
I mean, we're talking
that
that's like Bryce Harper status.
He'd be 18, 19. I mean, it's Pudge Rodriguez. Pudge Rodriguez came up, I think, when he was 19 and really was outstanding, you know, and never really relinquished that gig. So it's not like it's not possible. But again, and do you sit there and do you look at last year and go, well, guys, I mean, he couldn't even hit, you know, high A pitching very well at all. But what if he comes out and he's raking? I mean, he was hitting, you know, big leaguers the other day. If he keeps that up the next few weeks, yeah, man, look, that's every player's job right now, is to make life as difficult on AJ Preller and Mike Schilt as they can. That's their job. I need to make it as hard on these guys to make a decision as I can do. And that's the job of probably probably legitimately 15 guys in camp that are like, yeah, there's 15 of us that could or could not make this roster. You got to make it tough on those
guys. Think about where we were a year ago today. Jackson Merrill forced himself onto that team.
No question.
And never looked
back. And again, my take on Jackson Merrill was always, oh, no, this is bad. We are a dire. And I said it on the air. I go, this feels like a total panic move by the San Diego Padres.
You traded Juan Soto, and you're throwing a rookie infielder.
He's a shortstop.
To play center field on opening day? Okay, guys.
And I'm telling you. I mean, I for honestly, probably the first couple of weeks was like, this is going to be terrible, man. This is going to backfire.
This is Jackson Merrill.
And it obviously, I was wrong. They were right. I love that. Continue to prove us wrong. But I like your question because I think there's... You know, the thing that I don't know, and I wish I was more well-versed on, Ben. So what happens if Perlaza has a really, and Gonzalez, they have a really, really good, do we have them? Can we send them down? Are they out of options? How does this work? I don't know exactly who could you keep, or do you lose guys like that?
I mean, there's certainly, you're not going to be able to keep all of them even in the minor leagues. There right. are going to be some tough decisions, certainly, at the end of spring training. But some of those usually sort themselves out over the next few weeks.
That's true.
Padres ended up losing the game to the Cubs 10-5, but it wasn't the disaster that it sounds like from a pitching perspective. We can talk about that after check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So half of the runs the Cubs scored yesterday came in the sixth inning off J.B. Wendelken, who's a journeyman veteran who came in on a minor league contract. It's probably a fairly long shot to make the team. Gave up a three-run home run to Michael Busch. The starter, though, was Randy Vasquez. And Randy Vasquez wasn't dominant. He pitched two innings, gave up five hits, but just one run. But inside that, he got a lot of swing and miss, seven overall swing and miss pitches. And, the evaluation from Mike Schild afterwards was, we liked what we saw. You know how they talk about good shapes from Randy Vasquez. For a first start, they were not unhappy with what they saw from Randy Vasquez.
Schilt didn't chew his ass out
didn't.
And rip him a new one? Oh, man.
Shocking.
I'm shocked.
But I saw some of the videos. Clark Ferentold put up some of the, good change-ups, some good pitches from Randy Vasquez. And what we've really seen in these spring games has essentially been the competition for the fifth starter's job. We've seen Matt Waldron. We've seen Randy Vasquez. Today we will see Steven Kolek against the Los Angeles Angels. The first bunch of games has really been devoted to letting the guys who are competing for that last roster spot. We have not seen on a spring training game, not seen Dylan Cease, Michael King, Yu Darvish, or Nick Pivetta in any spring training game. They've pitched on the backfields. Yu Darvish pitched a couple of innings in an inter-squad game on a backfield.
Live BPs.
Dylan Cease did it live BP the day before. We probably won't see them until March in spring training games, according to Mike Schilt. So right now, the pitching you're focused on is essentially the guys who are competing for that fifth starter's job. And I don't think anyone has won it or lost it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, some of the bullpen arms I heard look pretty good. Marinaccio looks pretty good so far. Seems to be a pretty valuable piece. And with our boy.
Oh, there he is.
Both Hoeing and Reynolds.
Hoeing and Reynolds being down. That opens up
a spot.
Yeah, I like that a lot. So, this is the fun part. I love it, man. And it's funny when we're talking about pitchers in spring training, we're like, doesn't matter. I mean, he threw some nice changeups. We had some nice shape on his pitches. When we're talking about hitters in spring training, he's like, this guy's barreling everything. He needs to be the starting left fielder. He needs to be the starting left fielder right now. So, we'll see how they continue to progress, but it's going to be fun to watch to see who actually makes the squad.
And we'll see, how Steven Kolek's a little bit more of an experiment, I would say.
Yep.
He's definitely not the favorite to win the job. Remember, he was the Rule 5 draft pick last year, was kind of hidden in the back of the bullpen for most of the season, ended the year on the injured list as the Padres made their run to the postseason, but that allowed the Padres to keep him now, and they have the ability to both put him on the roster or send him down to AAA this year because they kept him on the Major League roster all last season.
So we've lost two in a row, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
yes.
Great. I mean, this is not a trend you want to see continue.
Ben. Dodgers are 1-4 now, I think.
They're the hot seat.
They are really struggling.
How fantastic is that?
It's fantastic.
Now, they did beat the Padres for their only win
win
of spring training.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, the
boy, have you seen their prospect? Sawyer Hope. Have you seen him?
I have not seen him.
You know, I've heard of him. Yes, oh yes. My god! Every ball this kid hits is like 105 plus every single time.
So happy for him
every time. Yes, nice for a guy to finally hit for those guys. I saw some video of him and I went, oh. Okay, super cool. Tanner Scott made his debut for the Dodgers yesterday, surrendered a two-run home run, but came back to get a couple of guys. I don't think they're super panicked, nor should they be. Glasnow actually took the L yesterday. Again, don't think they're super panicked about that either. But yeah, they got drubbed by the Reds 8-1.
And Padres still dealing with some flu bug. I think we should keep our distance while we're there from a couple of the guys. Luis Campusano is also battling. He has not appeared in a spring training game yet because he was also, along with Fernando Tatis Jr., dealing with the flu.
That's tough, too, because that's a guy that is grinding for a gig. And when you can't be in the lineup at all and other people are getting your reps, that's tough. Fernando's probably fine. I think he's his.
I think he'll be okay.
His spot on the team is
Campy
secure.
Was back in camp, they said yesterday. Fernando, they think, might still need a couple more days before he's going to make his Cactus League debut for the Padres, you know, hopefully sometime later this week. But apparently he got hit pretty hard by this one, especially. And, you know, when one and two guys get it,
probably
a few more. When they're all in that clubhouse and their lockers are close to each other, it spreads pretty quickly.
It's going to be cool when we get out there and set up shop and no players can come interview because everyone has the flu. What are we going to do then? Be thinking about it, because what are we going to do? Oh, sorry, he's sick. Can't make it. Awesome.
There's a lot of people there.
Are you panicked now?
We'll just have to talk to JoJo and some of the
yeah, we'll get the trainers out. So, rub downs.
They might be sick too.
Yeah.
Who knows?
This is great.
All right, we will come back. Hour number two. Reasonably good news about Magoon Guath for the Aztecs, but they still have some issues going forward. We'll talk about that in tonight's game against New Mexico. Next with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.